chapter number 30, and the pastor said he'd have some teenagers in here today. Now, we got some. I doubt if they're teenagers, but we're going to let them stay anyway, because this little gal back here, you're not a teenager, are you? But she's probably as intelligent as a teenager. So we'll let her listen today. We're in Proverbs chapter number 30. And I want to talk to you today about these four little creatures that we find in Proverbs chapter number 30. They're found in verse number 24 down through 28. And so we'll read a few verses here. It says in verse 24, chapter 30, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise." Now, the Lord doesn't just say these little creatures were wise. He said they are exceeding wise. I mean, they're wiser than wise. And that's an amazing statement. And it should make us want to say, well, what in the world makes them exceeding wise? And that's my message today. It says in verse 25, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." So here are the ants. Number one, exceeding wise, and they are wise because they prepare. They prepare. So you could put it down. I don't know if you make notes in your Bible or not, but don't get so carried away taking notes that you lose track of what the preacher's saying. Some people do that. But, you know, it might be good to write down what makes these ants so wise. They are wise because of preparation. Preparation. They know how to prepare. And then we come to the conies in verse number 26. "The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks." Now, I was preaching near Cincinnati one time, and I said, I don't know why I said this, but I said, "I'll give a cash prize." I think it may have been Sunday school. And I said, "I'll give a cash prize to anybody who can tell me what a coney is." And a little boy's hand went straight up. I said, "All right, son, what is a coney?" He said, "A hot dog with chili on it." Well, think about it now. We were near Cincinnati. Cincinnati, Skyline Chili. They're famous. Even had a place there called Coney Island. And famous because of the conies. But this is not a hot dog with chili on it. This is a little creature. And some people debate on what it looks like. But I believe from what I've studied, a coney is a lot like a rabbit. May not be far from a hamster. And they're not able to protect themselves. These little rabbit-like creatures, they don't have sharp claws. They don't have sharp teeth. So the only thing they can do is make their houses in the rocks. Now, I'm going to come back to these and give a little more detail. But they make their houses in the rocks, little crevices or caves. And so they are wise. They know how to fortify themselves. They know that old coyote's coming around or that fox is coming around and would love to have them for dinner. So they fortify themselves. So the conies are wise because of fortification. They know how to fortify. Now, then we come to the locust, and the Bible says, you know what a locust is. It's not a cicada. I used to call those cicadas locusts for years, and then I found out they're the ones that make that weird noise, you know, especially in the trees. They get together, and what a sound they make. That's a cicada. But a locust is a lot like a grasshopper, maybe a little bit bigger than a grasshopper. "And the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands." Now, that word bands means ranks. And if you know much about the military, you know they march in ranks. They stay together. Now, in the church world, what is the word for coming together? We come together. Now, you might say assembly, but it's got to fit in with my outline here. But we come together as a congregation. We're a congregation today. So these locusts are wise because they congregate. They stay together. And I'll come back and say more about that. Now, I want to start with the spiders because and go into detail because I always run out of time. When I'm bringing this message, I always run out of time and I don't get to the spiders. And so let's look at them today. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. Now, this spider, you might notice, first of all, I didn't even pray, did I? Let's pray. Father, help me now as I bring this message. Dear God, I pray that You'd help me to say only what You want said. Help me not to get off on a trail that's unnecessary. Holy Spirit of God, control my mind and give me what these dear people need today. We've got some young people with us. Their life is before them, and big decisions are before them. And I pray, dear God, that You'd give these teenagers what they need today. Speak to their hearts. And I pray, Lord, You'd give us all something. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the spiders, she taketh hold with her hands. Notice it says she. She taketh hold with her hands, the spider. And there's a reason for that. And it's kind of a gross reason, really. Some of you may know what it is. But after that female spider lays her eggs, then she is exhausted and she needs protein. And so she devours her husband. Now that's an awful thing. But And one guy came up to me, though. Have you ever met a know-it-all? Have you ever met a know-it-all? Anybody like to be around a know-it-all? Nobody wants to be around them. They know everything. This guy came up to me and he said, only 12% of spiders do that. Well, I don't know. Who knows that? But anyway, you've heard of a black widow. You know, that's why she's a widow. But she taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. What does that mean? Well, I heard one man who said a spider web is like a king's palace. I don't think that's the interpretation. I don't. He said it's so beautiful, you know, a spider web. It's like a king's palace. No, I think it means a real king's palace. That spider is in there. And here's why. Because you'd think if there's any place you would not find a spider web, it'd be in a king's palace. If there's any place that where it would be immaculate, they'd have janitors and maids going through there cleaning all the time. But I promise you, somewhere in there you'll find a spider web. You'll find them everywhere. You'd find them in the White House today. If you went to the White House, you would find a spider there somewhere if you investigated enough. And you know, there are a lot of strange creatures in the White House these days. But we won't get on that. But you could go to the governor's mansion. Oh, are we in Illinois? Why did I bring that up? Anyway, but my dear mother, she was an immaculate housekeeper. And we lived in a trailer. My dad was a construction worker. And we lived in a little trailer that was 12 feet wide. I mean, you could almost touch the walls. In my bedroom, you could. Just a little bedroom. There wasn't enough room in there to turn around hardly. But my mother, she kept that place clean, but I promise you somewhere in there you'd find a spider. This spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Now, so we got the ants, they're wise for preparation, and the conies for fortification, and the locusts for congregation. What about these spiders? What is the word that we would use? Why are they so wise? Now, you may have a different opinion. Brother Fritz, he may have a better opinion on this. If you do, don't tell me now. Don't holler it out in front of everybody. But tell me after the service. But here's my word for the spiders. I think spiders are wise because of determination. Determination. They are determined to build that web. And if you knock it down, they'll build it again. And I had a experience with that one time. By the way, I look down at these young people. I've got to ask this, and my wife is a witness here today. In every church I've ever brought this message, there's somebody in the congregation who likes spiders. And I want to tell you, it's not me. I'll tell you that. I don't like spiders. And now, if they're outside, I leave them alone. If they get in my house, I exterminate them. They're not supposed to be in my house. But There's somebody in here who likes spiders. Who is it? Who is it? You like spiders. Go ahead. Is it you? She raised her hand. Anybody else? You like spiders? I mean, do you like them enough to have one for a pet? You like daddy long legs. Okay. I never did like them. But, so we got two little girls. Anybody else who actually likes spiders? I was in a home visiting one night, or one day in Kentucky, and I'm talking to this man and woman, you know, either trying to lead them to the Lord or trying to get them right with the Lord. And this boy comes out. He looks like he was 10 or 11 maybe, and he's got a tarantula sitting on his arm. This big old tarantula. And he walks out and he looks at me. He gets a little bit too close to me and he says, "You want to hold it?" I said, "No, son. I don't want to." I was already nervous in that house because when I went in, they had a sign up by the door that said, "This house guarded by an iguana." I thought, how big must an iguana be to guard a house? But they do get big, you know, they get real big. So I'm already on edge sitting there talking to these people. You know, I'm already wondering, where is that iguana? And then here comes a tarantula out. But so I went ahead and finished up my visit real quick and left that place. But I was preaching in a church one time, and a man came up to me, an adult man. He said, "I've got a pet tarantula. I've got a pet tarantula." So, you know, but there's somebody who likes spiders, and we found them right here. They're weird. They're weird people. But, you know, this spider, I was going in to work one day. I worked in a furniture factory near Fordsville, Kentucky. And I was going in the back gate where they kept all the barrels of stain and lacquer and all that. I went in the back gate and I walked right into a spider web. And I know everybody in here has done that. You've done it. In fact, I did it within the last two or three days. Walked right into one. And you know, for about 5 seconds, you look like you're absolutely crazy. You know, you're just trying to get that thing off of you. And you're thinking all the while, is the spider still on the web? Is it on me now? And so then after a while, you look up. I looked up, and there was the spider still on the web. And so I thought, good, she's not on me. And so I went on to work that day. And the next day, I came back in. And I came back in that same gate. And I thought, I'm not walking into that thing again. But I looked up and I saw something that I've never seen before or since, and you've probably never seen it. The spider was out there taking down the web. She had put it back up, but she was taking it down. That's amazing. All those arms, arms and legs, whatever, and they're out there. That web is just disappearing before my very eyes. And I'm watching that. And I could just imagine what that spider was thinking. I'll take it down before that idiot walks into it again and tears it down. But I guarantee you, I went on to work. I guarantee you, she put it back up. She was determined. That's her spot. She must have caught some good food there before. That was her spot, and she's going to stay there. She was determined. And I want to say to you today, I think there's something wise, exceeding wise, about determination. When people just get their mind made up, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what's right no matter if anybody else does. Now that's a mouthful. I have known young people especially who serve God. Their mom and dad didn't want to serve God. Their brothers and sisters didn't want to serve God. But I've seen young people and they said, "I'm going to serve God. I'm going to church. I'm going to read my Bible and pray. And I'm going to be a Christian even if my whole family does not want to be." I say that person is wise. They've got some wisdom. There's just something about it. You know, there's a song, maybe you've heard it, "I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up." Do you ever hear that song? "I've got my foot on the rock. Though I walk through the lonely valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, when the old devil comes a-knocking, showing me an easier way, I stand right square on my feet. I hold my head in the air. I look Him straight in the eye. I say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I'm going to serve God. And I hope today you'll get your mind made up. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be a witness and hand out gospel tracts. I'm going to do that. I'm determined to do that. If nobody else does it, I'm going to live like a Christian. I'm going to dress like a Christian. Now, that's a mouthful in the world we're living in today. Because in America today, the standards of decency, the standards of modesty have dropped since I was a boy. They've dropped. And today, it seemed like especially women walk around with no shame at all, no embarrassment at all, exposing their bodies before the whole world. I thank God for Christian women who say, my mind's made up. I'm going to be modest. I'm going to live godly. No matter what the world does or even what my family does, I'm going to live for God. Determination. Well, all right, we're running out of time fast. So I'm coming back to the ants. And they are wise because of preparation. God says they're exceeding wise. They're little, but they're exceeding wise. And so, you know, there's another proverb, chapter 6, that says, go to the ant. Thou sluggard, you lazy person, go to the ant and consider her ways. And, you know, when you look at ants, and the good thing about the Bible says go to the ants, actually, they'll come to you. All you have to do is have a picnic. Just go out, spread out a tablecloth, have a picnic, and they'll come to you. In fact, sometimes they come to us right in our kitchen. And I hate to say it, but I do exterminate them. But God says you can learn something from the ants. Have you ever seen an ant standing still? They never stand still. I mean, they're always moving. They're always moving. I don't know if they sleep or not, but they're always on the go. And they're always preparing. Because that ant says, you know what? I won't always be able to prepare. I better prepare my meat in the summer. The winter time's coming. I won't be able to even get out of my hole. And I better prepare right now while it's summertime. And get prepared. And I want to say to you today, there's a lot of wisdom in preparing. There's so much wisdom in preparing. Number one, we ought to prepare for each day. You know, every day God gives us is a gift from God. How many times do we waste a day? How many times do we waste some hours of a day? May God help us. I'm getting old enough, I realize I don't have enough time. I don't have any time to waste. I better not waste any. So we need to prepare for each day. Get up in the morning. You young people listening, get up in the morning and read your Bible every day. Get up in the morning and spend some time in prayer. Talk to God for a while. Get on your knees and talk to God. Start the day with God. He'll be with you all day long. I made that decision many, many years ago. I heard a man preach, and it was a very simple message. Very simple. Put God first. I still remember that message. I still remember the preacher. Has anybody here ever heard of Bob Harrington? You probably heard of him, Brother Fritz. And here was his title, The Chaplain of Bourbon Street. You've heard of him? Bob Harrington, the Chaplain of Bourbon Street. I mean, he got saved. He was an insurance salesman. And he got saved, and he got saved all over. I'm telling you, he got radically saved. And he was on fire for God. And he thought he went to New Orleans. I think he lived in Louisiana. And he went to New Orleans and went down on Bourbon Street, one of the most wicked places on earth. And he set up a chapel there. And he was a witness for the Lord in that wicked place. But he had a message called Put God First, and I still remember it. He said, give God the first day of every week. That's Sunday. And you're doing that today. You're giving this to God. God bless you. But I do want to remind you, be back tonight because it's the Lord's day. It's not just the Lord's morning. Somebody say amen. It's the Lord's day all day long. And so be back tonight. But He said, give God the first day of every week. He said, give God the first part of every paycheck. Put God first in your giving. When you get some money, give to God first. honor the Lord with the first fruits of all thine increase. And I'd heard that before. I'd heard those two before. Then he said, give God. Now he said the first hour of every day. I didn't start out by giving God an hour. I didn't. It might have been 15 minutes. But I'd never heard anybody say that. I read my Bible and prayed a little bit at night before I went to bed. But he said, give God the first part of every day. Meet with God. And I began to do that, and I noticed my life before that, even though I read my Bible and prayed and went to church, my life was like this. I was up and down and up and down and up and down. I was so undependable. I was so unstable. When I began to read my Bible and pray at the first part of the day, start my day with God, my life just evened out. I noticed a new strength, a new stability. It was noticeable when I put God first in the day. So I want to say, prepare for every day by meeting with God. Prepare for the ministry. I'm not even going to ask today, but I wonder how many of you have a ministry. You know, you say, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. But you know what? Every Christian ought to have a ministry. There should be something that you do for God on a regular basis. Something that you do for the Lord in the church. And you say, well, I don't know what it would be. Go to the pastor and ask him. Ask him. Say, Pastor, I want a ministry. And I guarantee you, I'm not putting him on the spot. He probably has a list this long of things that need to be done. And maybe even ministries that he'd like to start. Think about it. I mean, there's so many people out there that we need to reach in so many different ways. Everybody ought to have a ministry. And you know, the best way to get prepared for that is know this book. Know this book. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. And that will prepare you more than anything else to do the work of the Lord by knowing the Word of God and, of course, learn how to pray. Well, let me say this to you young people today. Prepare for marriage. And some of you young people say, that's the farthest thing from my mind. These little guys down here, I don't have a thought about marriage. But it's going to happen someday. It'll happen. These young ladies, they might be thinking about it. You're 13. She did like this. I don't believe her. But you're thinking about marriage? Here's a young man back here. This little gal, probably not. But, you know, prepare for marriage. You know, you young ladies, learn how to cook. Somebody say amen. Learn how to cook. And you young men need to learn how to make decisions. Learn how to lead. Learn how to be a husband someday. Because God says in His Word, the husband is the head of the home. The husband's the one to lead the way. And young men need to learn how to make some decisions. You know, if I had it to do over, Brother Fritz, we raised three boys. I know they say the proper term is reared, but I'm just a Kentuckian. I say we raised them. But, you know, if I had it to do over, I would have had my boys. I was in the ministry. I just assumed they'll be in the ministry. But they didn't all make it into the ministry. You know, one's a preacher. The other two are not. But I would have spent more time helping my boys learn how to do things. Learn how to build something. Learn how to... I wish I had helped them all to learn a trade, some kind of a trade. I think that would have been great. I didn't do that. I spent time with them. I did teach them how to shoot a basketball, and then the day came, they beat me. But anyway, I can't spend too much time on that. But don't make this mistake. You girls, listen to me now. This young couple got married. She could not cook. He took it as long as he could. She just couldn't cook. And finally one day he blurted it out. He said, I just wish you could make biscuits like my mother. Oh, but she was ready. She said, I wish you could make dough like my dad. Now, I'm not talking about biscuit dough either. Hey, my friend, listen to this. Prepare. prepare for church. How many of you today, don't raise your hand, but how many of you prepared for church? How many of you prepared to come to the house of God? I remember one time our pastor, Brother Brown, you'll hear that name a lot when I'm preaching, Brother Larry Brown. He's had such an influence on me. And he's got so many sayings. You could almost write a book, The Sayings of Larry Brown. But I heard him say this. He said, you can only receive as much truth as you are prepared to receive. You know, some people come to church and they leave and say, I didn't get nothing. I didn't get anything out of that message. Did you prepare your heart? Did you come hungry? Did you come wanting some? Did you pray for the preacher? Did you pray that God would help that preacher? Did you come and say, God, speak to me? We ought to spend some time praying for the church service. And when you come to church, come to be a blessing to others. The Bible says we ought to exhort one another. Exhort one another when we assemble together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That word exhort means encourage. We ought to come and encourage one another in the house of the Lord. Go around, shake hands, be friendly, and prepare for church. And one more, prepare for satanic attacks. Prepare for satanic attacks. You know what? We don't know when they're coming. We don't know when they're coming. And all we can do is be prepared. And these next two points that I'm going to be talking about is the best way we can prepare for a satanic attack. Let's move to the conies. The conies. Not a hot dog with chili on it. But a little animal that is so feeble and so defenseless. And here comes that, maybe a wolverine, or a badger, or a fox, or a coyote. And there it comes. And this thing, it can't defend itself. So what it does, it goes and makes its house back in a little cave or maybe some crevice of a rock. And it's back in there, and the old coyote comes by, the old wolf comes by, the fox, and all it can do is look back in there and see two little beady eyes. But he can't get to it because he made his house in the rock. He fortified himself in the rock. And you say, well, what does that mean to me? Well, did you ever hear that song? The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide. A shelter in the time of storm. Sing it with me. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land. A weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A shelter in the time of storm. Learn how to hide in the rock. Amen. Learn, He's the rock of ages, cleft for me. Praise God. We have a rock. People in the Bible had a rock. Hannah, who gave birth to little Samuel, said, there is none beside thee, O Lord, neither is there any rock like our God. And Moses said, there's no rock like our rock. And David knew about rocks. Remember, David hid in caves. Saul was out to kill him, his father-in-law. And David hid in caves. He was protected there. He knew about the rocks. And all through the Psalms, you'll find where David talked about the rocks. You'll find where David said, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. I flee unto thee to hide me. And my friend, we need to learn how to hide in Jesus and how to be secure in the rock. Conies are wise not so much for what they do, but for what they know. For one thing, they know their own weakness. They know how weak they are. And my friend, we need to know how weak we are. We need God every moment of every day. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need this book. We need a great knowledge of this book. We need prayer time. We need it. There's a devil out there walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he'll devour you if you allow him to. But thank God, we can hide in the rock. They were wise because they know their weakness, and they know they have an enemy. They know that. And they also know where the safe place is. Now, let me just bring it right down to the bottom shelf where everybody, these guys, everybody can understand today. How do you hide in the rock? How do you hide in the Lord? My friend, when you're doing this, this right here, you're hiding in the rock. Amen, you are. When you're reading your Bible, you're doing something very powerful. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as you absorb the Bible, you say, well, I don't understand it all and I can't comprehend it all. You know what? Just reading the Bible, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. There's a cleansing power in this Bible. It will cleanse us. We need to saturate ourselves, memorize it. How many of you memorize the Bible? How many of you spend time memorizing the Word of God? I do. My wife and I memorized the Bible together. A few years ago, wasn't too many years ago, 3 or 4 maybe. I said, honey, we were right at the beginning of a new year. I said, let's make it a goal this year. We'll memorize the book of Philippians. 4 chapters of Philippians. And you might say, that would be impossible. Especially if you're an adult. You know, children can memorize, teenagers can memorize better than adults can. Their brains are like a soft sponge. I'll tell you now, it's not easy to memorize. But think about this. I checked it out. I said, honey, all we got to do is memorize 10 verses in a whole month. 10 verses a month, and at the end of 12 months, we're at the end of Philippians. And you know, we did it. We worked together. We checked each other out. We quizzed each other. We had each other quote it to one another as that year went on. Now listen, that was about 3 years ago. Don't ask me to quote the book of Philippians today. If you held a gun on me, I couldn't stand here and quote the whole book of Philippians. Some of it has gotten away from me. Have mercy on me. I'm over 60. I won't tell you how much I am, but I'm over 60. I'm way over 60. It just doesn't stick. It doesn't stick like it used to. But I'll tell you what, a lot of it did stick. There are passages I could quote today out of Philippians. And I know a whole lot more than I did. Well, I want to challenge you to do that. Listen, when you're spending time in prayer, you're hiding in the rock. Amen. When you're on your knees in prayer, you shut the door like the Lord said, and you pray to God, you're hiding in the rock. Right now, you're hiding in the rock. Amen. By being in the house of the Lord. And that brings me to the locust. And the locust have no king, but they go forth, all of them, by bands. Now, you know, the word that we would use, or the word that used to be used for locust, is a swarm. Did you ever hear of a swarm of locusts? There was a day in America when there were swarms that would come in, and still in other countries this happens. A swarm of locusts would come in and descend upon a farm or a plantation, and when they left, there was nothing left. They ate every green thing in sight. They ate the crops, they ate the trees, they ate the plants, they ate it all. And then they moved on their way. Now, we don't have those swarms today. We've learned how to deal with that. But other countries, third world countries, still have that. But now, the word we use is not swarms. It's congregation. God's people coming together in a congregation. And my friend, you're very wise to do that. God says these locusts are exceeding wise because they stay in their bands. They stay together. They stay in a congregation. You know, one locust, you can just step on him. One or two locusts, you get a fly swat and it's all over for them. But a swarm of locusts, a congregation of them, and you can't deal with them. And the Lord knows there's safety in the congregation. And I just want to say to you today, whatever you do, don't get out of church. Don't get out of church. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen to too many people. They get out of church. They start missing Wednesday night. Next thing you know, they're missing some on Sunday night. Next thing you know, they're missing now and then on Sunday morning. Then they're out. And the devil walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here it comes again. Larry Brown preached a message one time, Brother Fritz, called Devil's Food. Devil's Food. He said, the devil's walking around looking for devil's food. But he said, you know, some people are not edible. Some people are so close to God, they're not edible. He can't eat them. And my friend, be in the house of God. Make up your mind, I'm going to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival night. I'm going to be there in the house of the Lord. And I believe God looked down and said, you know what? You're wise. You are very exceeding wise to do that. Let's bow for prayer.